Well, Stephen McAllister is the attorney who argued on behalf of the state, and his argument was they tackled the issue, that it will never be completely equitable, but he used the example of local mill rates, property taxes raised by districts, as an example. He says the mill rates are similar among districts and have grown closer because of the law that lawmakers passed.
I was following some of the arguments on Twitter this morning. I saw some people saying the justices seemed skeptical of the state's position.
Yeah, they did question the state's attorney for considerably more time than the attorney for school districts. And at one point, one of the justices got frustrated with the idea that this has been going on for years, lawsuits over school funding, and the proposal from lawmakers that they have before them now seems to be a one-year fix. His argument was basically, this is Justice Dan Biles. He argued, you know, when is the music going to stop and we stop this dance?
And how about the attorney for the school districts that have sued the state? What did he have to say?
Alan Roop was the attorney representing the schools, and he basically said lawmakers had not fixed the issue. If anything, he argues they made the situation worse, and he uses kind of this description of peaks and valleys. He says they didn't raise the valleys and lower the peaks, but instead, as he puts it, they raised the peaks and kind of left the valleys where they are. And that's because under the system that lawmakers passed, school districts will have the option of raising more money from property taxes, but not every district can raise the same amount of money, because if you're a district with a lot of property value, you can raise more. So he's arguing that this didn't help. It actually might have made the situation worse.
And what about this idea of schools closing later this year? Justices have said that's on the table if some solution isn't found to the school finance problem.
No one really wants schools to be closed. That would be really bad for everyone. The state is now arguing that lawmakers crafted this bill so that the courts could strike down just part of it. So McAllister, the attorney for the state, said you could strike down part of the schools. They could open in August. They'd be running on reserves. And while they're continuing to operate, lawmakers could come up with a new solution. That's if the courts decide they don't like what lawmakers have already done. Alan Roop, the attorney for the school districts, called that a disastrous way to go because you'd be reducing aid to schools by something like 25%. And he says school districts have to kind of put in place their staffing in the next few weeks so they wouldn't have time to basically accommodate that kind of a budget change. But the idea here is maybe the courts could strike down part of it, schools could open and just kind of be in a holding pattern while lawmakers look at additional options. One of the justices kind of argued that, you know, they wouldn't be closing schools. The court would be saying, look, you haven't created a constitutional funding system, so we have to strike it down.
Well, where do we go from here? What's next?
Well, right now, we wait. We're waiting for a decision from the court, and it seems like the court is operating about as fast as a court can. We could see a decision maybe in even a few weeks. If the court rules against the state, likely lawmakers are going to have to come back and do some additional work on the issue. But what that work could entail, we don't know, because we'll just have to see what the court says.
Based on the arguments you heard and what the justices had to say, what's your best prediction? Will lawmakers have to come back and address school funding this year?
Boy, that's a tough one to guess. One thing I can say is the state in the past hasn't had a real great track record with the courts. So if past experiences are any indication, it may not look good for the state.